At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This episode is brought to you by Top Cheese Hockey Wax, trusted by players and greasy pigeons everywhere who take their game seriously. Head to topcheesehockeywax.com and use code PIGEON10 at checkout to get 10% off your order. Top Cheese Hockey Wax. Grip it and rip it.
Another episode of the Greasy Pigeon Podcast. I am your host, Jeff Sullivan. With me, as always, today I have no intro for you, buddy. It's just the one and only Kevin Trussler. Kevin, how you doing today, bud?
Feeling good, buddy. Feeling good. Had a long weekend. Went on a little cruise out of Tampa. It was fun. A little four-night action. It was back bright and early this morning and right back at work and right back in the saddle here at the Nest. So looking forward to it.
They didn't schedule the travel day for you. Just straight in, day of, get the morning skate in, and then game time.
Morning skate, get the sweats out, work those legs, and yep, have at it. That's it. No rest for the wicked, right? Or the weary.
Well, no rest for the weary, exactly. And speaking of rest for the weary, I do want to start talking a little bit NHL. We have something big on the horizon. You know, just we're recording this on Tuesday, June 3rd. Game one of the Stanley Cup Final 2025 edition is tomorrow, Wednesday night, June 4th. Before we get into what we think is going to happen and our predictions, how are you feeling about what seems like a month off during the end of the conference finals and what will be game one of the Stanley Cup finals? Does this seem just absolutely nuts to you?
Yeah, it definitely seems a lot longer than what they traditionally have been. I think what Edmonton and Dallas wrapped up on, was it Wednesday last week or Thursday? But, you know, it definitely seems like they're taking a little bit out of the NBA's page and having a good week and a half off in between series. So, you know, it'll bode well for the guys that are dinged up. But, you know, it's the old rust versus rest. And I think, you know, with both teams having a significant time off, I think Edmonton only had one extra day. You know, it doesn't benefit either one, in my personal opinion. We'll see. You know, you never know who's dinged up and might be on the cusp of returning.
Yeah, it was definitely about a week ago when Edmonton, who did play their game five one day after the Panthers game five, because there was talk that the Panthers, we were actually together with some friends of ours and former Nest guest Mark Grossman, and he was talking to us about how Florida was going to roll over Carolina, but the other series was going to go long, and that was going to hurt Florida going into the Stanley Cup Finals. And then, lo and behold, my buddy, Stuart Skinner, best goalie to ever lace him up in the NHL, is out there absolutely throwing donuts at people, both absolutely like for real and hypothetically, just absolutely shutting the net down. And next thing you know, the Oilers just dismantle Dallas in five games also. I did not expect that out of the West. And I feel like, and that's my gripe, is I feel like it's way too long. Hockey, we already know, goes late for a lot of people, right? Mid-June for a lot of people is really late to be watching hockey. You know, the youth seasons are over. Even your high-level juniors, they just handed out the Memorial Cup trophy in Canada. Like, all your major leagues are closing down, and the NHL is still out there. So you're losing interest from the fringe fans of the game, of the sport, which last year's final was so good. And now you have that same matchup again. The Eastern Conference Finals, not really great as far as the drama of the whole thing. The round before, I mean, Carolina and New Jersey was just a crap series. Washington, Carolina was a crap series. Like, Edmonton, Vegas was a crap series. This year, there just hasn't been the excitement. And then you take a week off and expect everyone to tune in on Wednesday night, flip the switch and be gangbusters. Tomorrow night's game is going to be sleepy as hell. 8 shots combined after the first period. Mark my words, put it down. Plus 500, go on the game, hit the Cizich. It's going to be so low shot. Take the under on the saves. It's going to be garbage game. It's going to look like crap. It's going to be garbage. It's going to take them a full game to get their legs back under them. I just don't like it, Kev. They needed to be more nimble. When both series wrapped up, they should have pivoted, and game one should have at the minimum been Sunday night. I think Saturday night, prime time, give the hockey fans something to watch on Saturday night. But absolutely Sunday night should have been game one, and we should have got tonight should literally be game two already. That's just my thoughts. I think they're dropping the ball on this one.
Well, Monday or Tuesday at the least, right? But like, yeah, the series didn't end until last Thursday. That was the last game. And then looking at the schedule, game seven could technically be 2 weeks from this upcoming Friday, June 20th. So, I know they have a lot of distance to cover, and it looks like they're giving two games in between travel games. But yeah, it's the draft is going to be here before we know it. We've got free agency that's right there, and yeah, it's dragging out for sure. But I'm hoping for a rematch of what we saw last year, where it goes the distance, and we'll see what happens. I know there's a lot of new faces on Florida. There's a couple on Edmonton. It's going to be fun. I think I'm with you though. I think it's going to be a slow start tomorrow. That's going to be puck drop. Yeah, they say 8 o'clock. That's really what, 8:30.
8:25.
Yeah. Yep. So, hopefully they can ramp it up. And with these two teams having the series that they did last year, hopefully that animosity can get ramped up rather quickly.
Yeah, it's the same setup as last year. The first game last year was June 8th. The first game this year is June 4th. So technically we're starting earlier and the schedule plays that out. It ends 4 days earlier than last year's game seven was on the 24th of June. So that's helpful. And it was the same thing last year. And this is a repeat of the longest mileage between two cities ever. All that stuff we heard last year is again doing it this year. So they do add the other day in between the travel days. So that stretches it out. It's, every other day when you're playing the two back and forth. So if they do get to games five, six, and seven, it's a game, 2 days off a game, 2 days off a game, 2 days. So it really drags out the end. That's why it goes so long. But again, to your point, I think what we're getting ready to watch outside of game one, I think game one's gonna suck, for lack of a better term. I just think it's gonna be horrible. I do think we're in for a good series. My biggest question, I think, and I want to start here, Kev. We always talk about goaltending. Let's start at the back. Bob is Bob. Stuart Skinner, I would say, is Stuart Skinner, except he's been playing, unlike Stuart Skinner, he's been playing very well to close out Dallas. Both goalies now have taken a week off. Essentially,
Yep.
nothing they did before this point matters. So how are they each going to come out? And that's where I start to worry again. Skinner has to prove it to me against that Florida offense.
Well, are we going to see a recap of both goalies, how they started the playoffs, right? Skinner just was Swiss cheese in LA, and Bob was not Bob against the Leafs. The Leafs sort of had their way with them in the first two games in Toronto. So, again, the rest versus rust. I'm with you. It's going to suck, I think, for the first little bit. Hopefully,
Agreed.
it'll be a quick one, but we'll see. But yeah, I think whoever can come on out and find their stride the way they left last week, the faster, quicker, the better. And that's a big injury to Hyman, right? For Edmonton,
Yes,
that's a huge
yes.
hole. That is a huge hole. Although, the team really picked up when he went out of the lineup against Dallas. And yeah, Dallas was a head scratcher to me. I thought they were the number one. I had them going to the cup final in one of my brackets, and I thought that they matched up really well against Florida. But hey, the way Edmonton's playing, they look to be somewhat healthy as well. It's gonna be fun. It's a rematch of last year. If you think back to the last one, right? I think it might have been the Penguins and Red Wings were the last to go back to back against each other. We'll see. McDavid is, I don't think he wants that taste again in his mouth. The fact that they have home ice too, I think definitely is a tick in Edmonton's way. But I think we're the same. Goaltending, the nod goes to Bob, although Skinner's been standing on his head in the last couple series. Who can get momentum quick? Who can make that big hit? Who can make that, secondary scoring too? We all know that, Marchand and that third line is just as good as a first or second line. Defense, both have horses back there. Ekholm is back for Edmonton, which is a huge plus. So again, I'm hoping it goes seven, but we'll see,
Well, and some stats to kind of put this in perspective. So they played twice during the regular season. Florida is 2-0 against them. And basically they were both mid-season games, December 16th and the 27th of February, 6-5 and 4-3 win. Obviously they won in, Florida won at home and on the road. But I think what's going to matter, right? That's just a nice little fun stat tidbit that means nothing. You don't know who played that game, who was hurt, who was in, who was out. You don't have any idea. What you do know is their path to get here. So if you remember last year, a lot of game sevens, a lot of deep series. Edmonton had to go multiple game sevens to get there, right? A lot of miles on the legs, so to speak, to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. This year, the paths have been relatively easy, and they've been almost identical. The Panthers went 4-1, 4-3, 4-1. The Oilers went 4-2, 4-1, 4-1. they're essentially the same number. You know, each team's got the same mileage. So Edmonton's going to come in. Now, I understand there's rest this time as opposed to last year, right? Late and whatever. But if everything being equal and everything being equal, Edmonton's the faster team. And I said that against Toronto, I said if Toronto can't match the physicality of Florida, they'd get pushed around. Now, they tried and they had some success when I think Bob was – I think it was more on Florida when Toronto was doing good things, to be honest. And I know that that was game seven. Anything could happen in game seven. But when you really look at the way that series ended, you know, I think we all agree that Florida deserved to win that series when it was all said and done because of the way they played against Toronto. Edmonton is faster. When Connor McDavid wants to skate, Connor McDavid can skate. And if his legs are fresh and fast and they can go, I am worried that Florida's you can't hit what you can't catch. Right, Kev? So if you can skate around the team, then I think you've got the advantage there. And I think that this year, that is one checkbox in Edmonton's favor they didn't have last year because they're fresher going in.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if the special teams shows up for Edmonton the way they have, you know, towards the latter part of the playoffs here, I mean, that's the Panthers are going to be in trouble. But yeah, McDavid looks like he's got even a higher gear this year. It's like he is playing, you know, they always say video game, you know, hockey with him, but he, just seeing him enter the zone, it's unbelievable. The speed that he comes in with, and he looks like a man that is possessed and wants it. And, you know, we'll see what happens, right? Like, that's why they play it. But I'm with you. I think they have, they've got the speed, they've got the skill. If they can stay out of the mud, which I think Florida is going to try and drag them into, things could bode well for them. But, you know, it's going to be a series of swings, you know, just when you think one team's going to have the upper hand, the other one's going to come in and make adjustments. So, looking forward to it. Who do you got?
It's my job to ask you who you got, Kev. So I will go first this time. I always go the other way first. So I will go first. I'll give you, so game one odds, depending on which site you use, basically it's a pick 'em. It's a -130 for Edmonton, slight favorites. That's a home ice. That's the home ice advantage. That's all that is. Florida's traveling. Yep. Edmonton's been at home now. So they have the slight advantage. Again, here's what I think it comes down to. Florida's going to be the grittier team, although Edmonton can muck it up if they want to. So I think you're going to see a wash there as far as the physicality goes. Edmonton is the faster team on ice, no questions asked. If you think Dallas was fast and Edmonton looked fast playing Dallas, Dallas is faster than Florida. So Edmonton's going to skate, if their legs are good, all over Florida. If Florida doesn't watch their gaps, if they don't watch their positioning, they will absolutely release those outlet passes where they do the crisscross through the zone and two Oilers go across the logo. And next thing you know, it's Draisaitl's got it on one side and there's McDavid. It's a 2-on-1. You're going to see that a lot once they get their legs, probably not in game one, or at least not early in game one, but definitely game two, game three, you're going to see that. Now game three, you can match up better because now you're back home at Sunrise. So Paul Maurice can match up better against the Draisaitl line or against McDavid specifically, whatever that looks like, right? So I think the chess match will be on. I love what Florida's doing and how they play. I've got Edmonton. I think I've got Edmonton. Unfortunately, I think Edmonton's going to win it in Florida in six. I think that game five will be, they'll go up 3-2 in game five, and then they'll come down to Florida and win game six. I hope it goes seven because I would love Edmonton to win it in front of Edmonton. Let Canada have the cup on home soil, be handed out on home soil. If McDavid continues to do what he's doing, he will also be the MVP this year. I've said it could be Marchand. If the Panthers win the cup, I think Marchand, unless something changes the series, is your MVP of the playoffs. He's been absolutely just gangbusters. And I know that everyone says it's Bob and whatever, but they've won some of these games. They haven't needed Bob necessarily to be Bob. And he wasn't Bob early on, and they still won games, you know, without him. So I think that I think it's a toss up. You know, my pick is probably -140. Like, it's not a huge advantage here, but I'm going to go with Edmonton this year. And unfortunately, sorry, Sunrise. I think that they're going to come back and do it.
Yeah, I think, you know, they learned a lot last year, right? Just like Florida did going to the finals against Vegas and losing, you know, in their first go around. So, you know, Edmonton, obviously, they have to, at a minimum, make a split at home. They can't go down 0-2 and expect to go to the well again like what they did last year. But I think it goes seven. And yeah, I think the cup goes back to the homeland here for a little, finally, the sipping of maybe some maple syrup in there, or Labatt's, you know.
It definitely will not be maple syrup. I could promise you that. If that cup is handed out in Alberta, it'll 100% be something heavy and something a little more APV than what usually happens in the States here. A little more alcohol content for you Canadians, but it'll be interesting to see. I do know that there's some history with the rematch, you know, teams that have lost their first cup final, you know, when they go back, like you mentioned just now, the
Pittsburgh and Red Wings,
Florida playing against Vegas, right? Pittsburgh, and then Florida plays Vegas again, right? And they lose, and then they come back and they win. And then Edmonton plays them last year, they lose. So do they come back, right? So the teams that go back that second year, they learn so much. And the difference is you're playing the defending cup champion, not another random team. So there's a little bit of, they know what it's like to be there too. So it's going to be an interesting matchup for sure. It's going to be something to watch. Game one starts Wednesday night. We'll be obviously breaking this down about midway through the series, see where things stand. But I agree with you. I think Edmonton, they can lose game one as long as they come back and win game two. If they're down 0-2 and they're climbing that hill again, that doubt's going to start creeping back in and go down that road. So it'll be a little interesting. But I like where it's going. And I hope it's an exciting and lengthy series because, let's be honest, this playoff run this year needs some drama to end it because it's been a little lacking up to this point.
First round is always the best. Everyone's wearing it, right? Everyone's excited and, you know, somewhat fresh. But I hope we're wrong about tomorrow night because I do want it to be an exciting game. You know, that's the league deserves it.
Nope, they do. And it'll be on TNT. I know there's some heartburn with that because certain cable providers don't have it. But find a way to get TNT. You know, love listening to those guys. It's a great panel. They bring on the best between the great one, Biz, Hank. You know, they're all on there. They do a great job. You know, it's fun, but it's also very educational. They do a great job breaking it all down. So it'll be exciting to watch, interesting to watch. I'm here for it, Kev. So let's roll right into the cup finals, man.
Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I agree with you completely. Now, if you will not take as long of a break as the NHL did, we will be right back with our first guest today, and we will talk some local Florida hockey when we return in the Nest.
We take this brief TV timeout. We want to tell you about something new with the Greasy Pigeon Podcast. Head on over to greasypigeonpodcast.bigcartel.com. That's greasypigeonpodcast.bigcartel.com. That's where you can find our merch. The GPPOG golf hat that I'm wearing, the vinyl sticker for your mug, your laptop, the signpost, your helmet, your dad's back window of his car, whatever it takes. You can find it all there and more to come. We're just getting started. Head on over to greasypigeonpodcast.bigcartel.com. Come get your gear now. From the rink to the links, look your best. Let's get back to the show. Welcome back, everybody. Great segment, Kev, talking a little preview on what's to come in the Stanley Cup Finals. We both hope game one is better than we think it's going to be. I think it's going to be an absolute snooze fest. But what is not a snooze fest is what is about to come, Kev. And that is our guest has joined us. Lee Zerfass is our guest. He is the director of the Clearwater Cyclones girls and boys Rec Select hockey program out of Clearwater Ice Arena. He's here to tell us all about not only his program, but kind of Rec Select, what its benefits are. We've been talking a lot about the tryouts and the youth game in Florida and where can I go if my kid didn't make a team or if I don't want to play travel, or if I don't want to play on the team that I made and whatever the scenario is. He's going to fill in all the gaps for us way better than we can, way better than I can for sure. So Lee, appreciate you taking a few minutes. If you're watching, he's sitting in his car. We clearly caught him on the side of 275. He probably pulled over on the Howard Franklin causing all sorts of traffic back up. Lee, appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Of course. You know, it's we're, you know, I'm in route to a rink near you, right?
That's so. For sure. Yeah. Look for Lee and this beard and a rink here near you anytime soon. So Lee, like I started, man, Rec Select, we've been talking a lot about the youth hockey thing and tryouts and making teams and development. And is it, do I need to play AA, AAA at 10U and 8U and 12U? And I think, you know, we've talked a lot about where the benefit is and where it has value and maybe where it doesn't. And depending on the player changes and all those things, I really want to dive into what you're doing, because what you do is a pipeline to a lot of this. It gets kids involved early, gives kids a bridge between what a lot of people think rec is versus what rec should be and can be and how good it can be. So just give us a start. Who are the Clearwater Cyclones and what do you do over there?
Sure. Well, thank you. Yeah. So we're part of the Clearwater Ice Arena, and what it is that you have a house program, and we call it rec, and we stopped abbreviating that a long time ago. So it's recreational hockey, okay, and that's to get your feet wet. It's to start creating the passion and the love of the game, Okay. It's a great place to start. Our you know, major intent with that, with the younger kids, certainly is to instill that passion. So you want to come back to the rink every week, right? You know, and then as the kids are progressing, you wind up start seeing the, I'll say, disparities in the skill sets, you know, where some kids are moving faster along than others. And there's also a competitive edge to it, to where they're looking for something more. And so, you know, the skills might not be there from, you know, the ability to play travel at that point, but they're looking for something more. And they're also looking for that travel experience. You know, how do you get your feet wet? Where do you start? And so, to your point, I think it's a great segue into the world of travel, because not only are we doubling down on, call it, practices and, you know, the development side of it, but also all of us are involved with tournaments. So we have Rec Select tournaments, for instance, that in the Tampa area, there's a number of teams. There's, I believe, five teams that we all get together and we compete as Rec Select programs. So that would be the Sting, the Bulls, the Ice Force, the Attack, and ourselves. And I'm trying to think, am I missing somebody? I hope not. But that allows us the environment to have evenly matched games. And then what we've done is that we've decided that a little out-of-state action or in-state with respect to Travel A and Travel B tournaments, can we compete in those levels? So we do that as well. And then lastly, for that experience, we have the families to where we go to an out-of-state tournament and it has to be drivable. So for instance, we started out with Nashville our first year. We did Hershey last year. We did DC this year. And so this year we brought five teams with us. And that was awesome. It was a great experience because at the end of the day, you didn't have to worry about airfare. It was a reasonable weekend. And you know, it's on a budget, you know, so, you know, it's a perfect, it sits right in between rec. And because you're doing rec with it, you know, there's still some, you know, costs associated with it, but you're also not making that weekly commitment of travel like you would with Sahoff, for instance, or, you know, with SFHL, or even with the Girls League now that's spinning up of the SFGHL. You know, so that's the great news with what we're trying to do is it's a perfect complement. It is a bridge to travel, as well as there are some people that have figured out that's their final destination. They don't have the same compete level as some of the others. And that's the thing that, you know, we appreciate. And conversely, there are also people that have gone into travel that for whatever reason have decided that's not for them. And so now you can still continue to play hockey. And, you know, the big thing for us is continuing to play hockey. So, you know, we all had 14, 16U, and with Rec Select, it's no check. So that's another important aspect of it is that we can have girls playing, for instance. We can have people that, you know, maybe for whatever reason, you know, we have medical conditions with some of our kids that, you know, to get into a checking environment, it could kill them. So to be able to have a non-check league and not have to worry about that, I think that's important. That's certainly, I think, some allure to it. You know, and then lastly, you know, we're now looking at 18U. So following for, you know, call it, we have 8U, 10U, 12U, 14U with 16. And now we're looking at breaking away 16 and making it new in high school. So call it 15U to 18U, for instance, and kind of following the Lightning, you know, high school model of, you know, now you could do Rec Select with, for instance, JV. Those would be two complementary things to where you double your game count, you double your practice count. And it is still gives you an experience that if you love the game, we're giving you that environment. And, you know, so some, you know, the programs kind of vary as far as the number of teams, but what we're doing at Clearwater is pretty significant. So we start out at 8U with Jamborees. And then, like I said, we'll have our tryouts like everybody else over the next couple of weeks. We usually fall behind travel so that the kids that are interested in doing that have every option that they have available. And that if there's any teams looking for, you know, to fill out a roster, for instance, they need one or two spots. We want to try and give all of our players those options to fulfill that because that is part of our charter. You know, obviously we want the kids to move on if that's what they choose to do.
You answered a lot of the questions I was going to ask, specifically of the age group, but like with the success that you've seen with hockey in Florida, with the Lightning, with the Panthers, what are the numbers looking like specifically with those older age groups? Are you seeing more kids starting to want to play hockey at a later time that maybe they weren't into it when, 8U, 10U, 12U was there, but getting in at the 14 and 16U level?
Kevin, absolutely. I think a very important thing to touch on is that, historically, you were at 14, you had to make decisions on what you were going to do, in this case, going into high school. And with Rec Select, with having the 12 and 14, 16, and now, like I said, we're getting into that 18, there are a lot of people getting into hockey later. And so, if you're 16 years old, where do you start? And certainly that ambition of saying, I want to play, double A, travel in 2 years at the 16U level. I think that's a little bit of an unrealistic stretch. From there, where do you go? What's the end game? And at that point, you've got to say, well, if I started at 16, ideally, I would love to be able to play club hockey, for instance, in college. So again, it's really interesting because this is the first year that actually helped kids get laced up 10 years ago, 12 years ago. And I was actually with them in their final game on the collegiate side of when they were actually hanging up their skates. So I had the bookends with some of these kids. And there's nothing more fulfilling, I think, from the player standpoint or the coaching standpoint, to see that journey. And Kevin, I mean, you and I were on the bench together with Mitchell, and we had a whole cross section of kids that were just starting to get in. And then you had obviously the kids that have been around a long time, and then you filter in even the Alliance kids or the AAA kids, and you could see the vast difference in the skill sets. So, that's why I think Rec Select has a place. And we did a tournament 2 years ago at the 10U level, and we actually had teams from the South coming up. So we had the Panthers Juniors program. It's not the same as what they're calling it today, but that's what they were calling it back then. And we had those kids come up for a tournament. And so, it's certainly viable. And it's growing more. They had the Metro League, what was that, about 10 years ago, I think?
Yep, I
You know,
believe
where
so.
we're Yeah, where all the rinks were kind of competing against each other, and again, it was a pretty wholesome activity where we didn't have the depth that we did in travel like we do today, and so to see those rinks opening up and being receptive to competing with one another, what a great opportunity that is for everybody involved. And if we can't fill the ice, if we can't buy the ice and keep the rinks busy, then ultimately they're going to close. There's nothing cheap about hockey in Florida.
No, and that's one of the things we talk about a lot is the lack of ice time, lack of available ice, and how we need more. So yes, shutting down rinks is not something we need if we're going to keep growing this thing the way we've been growing it. But can you explain a little bit? So you're talking about tryouts are coming up for the fall after travel tryouts are over, but you've competed in tournaments this year. You've taken teams away this spring already. So give me a breakdown on, are these is this the end of last year's tryouts and you're starting over? Like, how does the structure work from those of us that only know the travel side where you try out and you try out in May and the season starts in August and you play till March and then start over again? What is the Rec Select kind of season and what does that look like? And to that point, go even deeper on, okay, I make the Cyclones Rec Select program. What is my expectation of involvement through the fall and winter and so on and so forth? Like, what is the entire program look likely?
Sure. We've tried to mimic a traditional season, call it September to, February, March, right? So we even end our season with Rec Select championships, state championships, okay? But our tryouts are a little bit different in the sense that with the Cyclones, we don't cut. Okay, so we have a tournament team and we have a development team. And at the end of the day, our commitment to the players is that if you're interested in getting better, if you're willing to put the commitment into getting better, we're not going to say no. Okay, it's a fundamental, it's more of a righteous thing of we're not going to deny a kid who has the love of playing hockey. Okay, and so we've continued to work on how the tournament part of it works. But I would say, you know, for us, what we do is we have 12 roster spots for the tournament players. Okay. So, you know, we'll offer those 12 spots to the players that we know that would give us the ability to compete against other programs. All right. And then subsequently, we leave room for practice players or development players that as they improve, that they have the opportunity to get called up. You know, so, and then everything's a la carte. So it doesn't matter, you know, if you're a practice player, it's one price, and then a tournament player is the other price. But if you backed out the tournaments, it winds up being the exact same cost. You know, we include all the jerseys. We, you know, it's more, we are very sensitive, I think, to the economics of hockey. And, you know, so subsequently, our prices are all inclusive. It includes your jerseys. This year, we're adding shells to add to the, you know, again, to the uniform aspect of it. We have reversible jerseys instead of the twill and you know, the normal sweaters that the travel programs are. We try and save costs. And so, you know, we're not judgmental or trying to say anything's better than the other, but if we're trying to keep our costs down, that's one way of doing it. And since we're a nonprofit, we pass those savings on to the players themselves. But as far as competing goes, like I said, it typically starts in September. And then we've spaced out our tournaments every couple months from there. So it's every other month. And then with our program in particular, if we see, like for instance, we'll get a call from My Hockey Tournaments. And they're shy a team that's playing Travel A or Travel B up in Jacksonville. And we'll get a phone call saying, hey, do you want to put in a team? And at that point, we'll throw it out to the team itself. And if they want to do it, then we a la carte it. And, you know, whatever the cost of the tournament is, we'll subtract that or make an allowance for it. And then we're competing. So some of our teams have actually been in 7 or 8 tournaments just because the need was there or the desire was there. But, you know, we start out with 4 tournaments. That's our base. And then from there, if you're interested, you can bite off more if you want.
So for the age groups, it sounds like for those teams, those tournament teams, is it more geared towards that 14, 12U age group, at least right now, as opposed to, you know, maybe the 8U or the 16U? Because I know you mentioned not non-contact and not, you know, having, you can still play, but play, you know, essentially yeah. in a men's league type, right? Or adult league yeah. without contact.
Right, exactly. You know, that's exactly right, Kevin, is that, you know, in our, all the programs are different. Okay. So it's going to be dependent on, you know, kind of what the enrollment is of each particular rinks. You know, for instance, the Cyclones is the newest of the Rexlock programs, you know, new meaning we're in our fourth season, but the other programs have been around longer. And I was involved with the Attack when Ken started his program, and boy, it's a fantastic program. All of them, you know, you take on, you know, some of these teams and boy, the level of compete is fantastic, and we do win tournaments. And our Rec Select tournaments, our state, you know, I would say that the core would be 10, 12, and 14, 16. You know, and then from there, like the Ice Force, I know they're doing an 18U. I believe the Bull Sharks and the Sting are doing 18U. And our program isn't around long enough from the Clearwater standpoint to be able to field that type of team. That said, we're also fielding an 8U team. Okay, so we're doing jamborees on the 8U. We're doing AAU because, there's the interest level there. And you know, we've got to start somewhere. So, you know, our ability to develop players, we're putting a lot more emphasis because we are newer into the younger kids. And then, you know, starting out with the 8U, and then, you know, they're bridging out or branching out to other programs. And, you know, subsequently we'll hit the reset button every year of what we have. But yeah, I mean, you know, ideally, you know, we're trying to field an 18U like everybody else, and hopefully we can do it. But there are a lot of high school kids and they're in other areas, you know? So, you know, we hope that, you know, like for instance, you know, we had like 30 kids move up from 10U to 12U. Okay. And we had about the same move up from 12U to 14U. So, you know, we're pretty heavily laden now in those two particular age groups. 10U took a little bit of a hit, but we're still strong there. But the bulk of the players would be in 12 and 14 for our program. And so that's why it makes sense. So we're, you know, we were getting killed in 14, 16 because we didn't have 15 and 16-year-old players there. And there's a big difference between a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old, right? So, you know, not only in speed wise, but, you know, the physical, we're still taking players off pucks, you know, but, you know, if you're trying to go against somebody that's got 30 or 50 pounds on you, you know, we won't have much success. And obviously some of these kids at that point, when you're going through your second round of puberty, you know, they could be a foot taller than our 13-year-olds.
And we talked about that during the tryout episode because, you know, you had a lot. We talked about the 2012 birth year specifically because there's a lot of kids at that birth year and they're moving up to the next division. If my head is correct, they're now going to be going to the U14 level as a first year. So those spots on the AA teams are typically taken up by the second year of that age group, right? So there's less spots available on the top team. So you play on the air quote lower team, right? Which isn't the lower team. It's just basically the first year team, and you develop. And then the next year you go up and you're now the older kid. And like I said, then newsflash, that happens at junior level and that happens at the collegiate level. Your teams are framed by your age out, your minus ones and your minus twos, your higher level teams, your lower level, like elite tier three teams, like, you know, USPHL elite or NA3, those are your minus four year kid, you know, your age out minus four, mm-hmm. or plus two, however you want to describe it, right? And your top teams are the older kids. It's just the way it is. So that exists in this sport from now until then. So to your point, Lee, with all the movement and how that plays in, what are you seeing for advancement, right? I'm guessing your goal is to train, develop, teach the sport, teach the love of the game. That's number one. But then develop to advance the player to whatever their destination is. To your point, some kids, they're happy with where they are. They want to just play on your tournament team. They want to just keep moving up with you, travel the, you know, the drivable tournaments and just live out hockey that way, right? Those kids exist 100%. There's also kids that come in that, and we know some of them, Kev, that played a few years in rec hockey and then got onto a AA or a single A or AA travel team and then advanced from there, played high school, you know, maybe played junior a little bit, whatever. What are you guys seeing for your advancement, and how is, I'm going to guess that your advancement is in the home rink, so that's going to be the Clearwater Ice Storm. How is that kind of relationship working, and what does that look like from your standpoint?
Again, that's a great question. You know, it's the Tampa area is kind of unique because, you know, I think between Oldsmar and CIA, you know, you've got the Tampa Bay Hockey Club and then you've got the Clearwater Ice Storm. Now you'll see players typically jumping between those rinks, you know, that's fairly typical. Same thing with Wesley Chapel and Brandon, you know, because of just the convenience, if you will, the geographical location of the rinks, you know. And so for us, for that development aspect of it, you know, it's really, you know, we've had players go to all those programs, and that's because the people saw the value in what we were doing to begin with that caused them to move over to us. So, you know, we've had players that played travel that just weren't quite ready yet. And they, you know, I just call it oven time. You know, you need a little extra time in the oven. And so we'll gladly take those players, give them what the skills that they need so that if they want to a year later, they can go back. And at that point, they'll have the skill to compete and stay at that level. You know, and so we understand our place in the pyramid, if you will, when it comes to development. And, you know, and I coach on the Alliance side too. So, you know, I have a very clear understanding of rec to, you know, elite, if you will, or going from rec all the way up to AAA. And then obviously the collegiate side again, you know, we do take a lot of time and try and provide the best product we can with the number of players that we have. And that's always a moving number for everybody. You have people coming and going all the time. And the admirable thing is that, you know, we have people that come back, you know, and so just like the travel programs are, I'll say, trading players, that's really no different on the rec select side for that matter. You know, you know, it's nice because I think fundamentally we're not as concerned with, you know, where you came from or where you're going. You found us for a reason, you know, and to be able to capitalize on that and give them the tools that they need. It's more than just the on ice. And I think that's a distinction, I'll say, between rec select and travel, is that, you know, travel would have more of an emphasis, you know, I would argue that on the competition side, right? The wins and losses, stats, things like that, right? You're, you know, how'd you do this weekend? I had 7 goals, 3 assists. I was number 3 in the leader poll for the tournament, right? I came out on Sunday. I got some free hockey out of it. And, you know, I had 10 points for the weekend, right? You know, and for us, that's not our emphasis at all. And again, that's also a part of the rec part of it, the recreational side is that. At Clearwater, for the younger kids, we do not keep score. We don't keep a score sheet. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah.
I learned from Ken how to do a draft and how to weight the teams correctly so that we have competitive hockey. And then if we see a weaker team, they'll get the strongest goalie. And conversely, you know, the strongest player team will get the weaker goalie. And what that allows us to do is have 1, 2, 3 goal differentials. And nobody cares at the end of the day, you know, meaning they're there to play hockey. And we've satisfied that aspect of it. So the development part is extremely critical. And I would just add a nuance of we're just as concerned about the development off ice as it is on ice. We want to create a better human. And so we do a lot of things in the community. We had our end of season party, for instance, with the Cyclones. And, you know, I think we had 140, 150 people there. We don't make it mandatory. It's a village for us. It's something that we spend the weekends together. And you know, we continue that. So, you know, we're not counting down the days to where, you know, it's, you know, 18 games into the travel season. We don't have that same type of grind, you know, and that's the difference is that we don't have a full season of every other week that you're having to go somewhere to compete. And again, there's a place for that. And, you know, I would be hypocritical because my three kids are towards, you know, closer to the elite side than anything else where, you know, Delaney, for instance, what she had 14, 16 tournaments last year. So we were gone. I think she was gone 9 weekends straight. So, you know, we have one side of the spectrum with the rec, and then you go into the rec select, and then the natural progression would be the tournaments, the tournament teams and the travel. And then you get to the elite where you're compounding the number of practices, you're compounding the number of games. But what we've been able to do is for instance, if you look at a fall and winter season for rec, with when we add rec select, if you had 20 practices, then all of a sudden now we've doubled down on that. So you have 40 practices for the year. And if you had 20 games as far as rec goes with the 4 tournaments we do, now all of a sudden we've doubled that to 40. So what's a, you know, traditional travel season? You know, what, 18 games and 36 practices? About?
It's about that, depending on the tournament. I know it's 18. It used to be, what, 18 regular season games, right, within your say off. And then, you know, depending, it'd be either 2 hours or 3 hours of practice, depending on who the, you know, what the coach was looking at or whatnot. Are you guys practicing once a week then when you start with the 8U, 10U and then?
Yes.
You start that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, and we do cross, you know, we follow the EDM for 8U, you know, and, you know, there's pros and cons to that. You know, I'll mix it up to where we'll go full ice with 8U just because they, you know, the problem when you do cross ice is that you don't know what offsides is.
Yeah, you know what, Lee? I never thought about that, though, with the whole 8Us not really understanding. You know, I would like to think, you know, if you are wanting to learn the game, you're going to watch the game and hopefully you become inquisitive and, you know, you're asking questions.
The 8s don't care, man. It's follow the puck. And so, you know, I mean, that's one of the things, Kevin, is that, you know, we'll do cross ice, and I've even introduced refs at 8U where, you know, they'll call it, and it's a whole different, you know, it's a whole different game at that point when the players have now all of a sudden they don't understand what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's, so the coaches will actually ref the games, and we'll stop and say, okay, that's offsides, and then, you know, we have antidotes for everything, you know. Puck goes in, you go in. Puck goes out, you go out. Yeah. You know, and that's where we have chances to teach things like that.
That's what makes it fun.
I believe that, you know, at the end of the day, you own that stuff. So, you know, it's a little bit of a philosophical difference. And then at the same time, you know, again, it goes back to that rec select mentality of if you're on the roster, I play.
Yeah.
I don't believe in if you're going to pay dues, first of all, you're not doing anybody any good sitting on the bench. And if I need the short bench, I can, again, if I'm playing Alliance and you know, I'm going to do what it takes to win. But if I'm club hockey and I'm rec select, then you know what? Everyone is entitled to play. And I'm not going to apologize for what I feel is the right to play hockey. You know, that is something that is what, you know, started our girls' side and, you know, that equity side of the love of the game and wanting to play hockey. So if we can take your money, you're going to play. And, you know, and that might be a, you know, a small island, but it's my island, you know.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, you don't know what someone can deliver until they're put in that situation, right? And you don't know 100%. Who's going to be showing up and who's not going to be there, who gets sick, who gets injured. You know, it's that's what it's all about. You got to put kids in an uncomfortable situation. And, you know, for the kids that might be the better air quote on the team, it's all about being a leader and helping them along through, you know, to get them better.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, and I think that onus, you know, has got to fall on the coaching and the program itself. Okay. And again, you know, I'm not going to be hypocritical with my kids where they're at, but it does give me a broader understanding of the full development process and knowing that, you know, inclusion is probably the greatest thing of hockey being able to do that is that everyone in hockey has a role, you know, and I don't care if you're playing in the NHL, collegiate or AU. You know, it's just further refined, if you will, when the skills get better. But at the end of the day, I don't care at AU, you're chasing the puck as a group. You know, and now at 16U, you're trying to create time and space and at 18U, you better have your wheels and you better be able to think fast. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to survive. And if you don't survive, the great news is, you know, your parachute puts you in rec select and it gives you a home and, you know, I mean, what a great thing. That's what I truly love about what's going on in the area.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we've talked about it before. I know in the summertime, my son played in the rec leagues and I loved how they did it, where they split up the teams. And again, you know, they made sure that they were equal. And, you know, that's a huge opportunity for, you know, for the better players to help teach the game and become those leaders and, you know, making the right play. You always need to make the right play. So,
yep, spot on. And you know, and furthermore, I mean, you know, we're pretty content with playing hockey year round, a lot of the families down here. And so when you have the rec select and you have spring summer hockey, it allows you to take the foot off the gas pedal, go back to pond hockey type mentality of having fun. Right. You know, you compete from September to March. At that point, you're looking forward to being with your friends again. And enjoying the game and man, I hear more laughs and giggles out on the ice in April and June, because the kids are just genuinely having fun. So again, there's a time and a place for everything, you know, and you know, and conversely, it allows you to work. You know, I tell my kids, look, you're in the off season, you're having fun, work on one thing.
Yeah.
You know, take the summer and work on one thing. And over 5 years, you've now complemented five things. You know, Glenn Metropolite, you know, he's back in the neighborhood. He had an incredible run, you know, played in the NHL, played for the Lightning, Montreal, Boston. And him and I are good friends. And so I think he was in town for a couple of days when we were able to get together for coffee. And you know, when we were at Goose Pond, I interviewed him just like you guys are doing. And I had what was called Coach's Corner. And just like you guys are doing, who are the influences on your life and what did they do? And I'll tell you, Glenn had one of the most incredible stories because he went from rec select to juniors. Okay. And, you know, and where he came up, they were, you know, they weren't in the best position of you know, the financial wherewithal. And so he was out in the parking lot with the tennis ball and deking around leaves, you know? And so if you want to talk about, you know, the earnest commitment to taking what it takes to get better, you know, he is the perfect example of that tenacity, that bite, that fight of I'm going to make it. And sure as heck he did. And now he's in what, you know, the Toronto or Mississauga Hall of Fame. And, you know, he went on to Europe to win, what is it? The Calder Cup I believe that's it. That's their version of the Stanley Cup and for Team Devos. And
okay. Yep.
You know, and what an incredible story. And the fact that he's been involved with the kids and wants to get back and we've got him, you know, helping us out. And I try and bring in guest coaches because, you know, I was a rec dad myself. And you know, there are guys that have been doing this stuff for 20, 30, 40 years. And you know, at the end of the day, I think that's true with all the rec select programs is that we just want to try and give hockey to the kids. And the more we can do with it, the better off all of us are. And to keep the kids off the electronics, to give them purpose. You know, my 14, 16U, we practice on Friday nights. Some of the other programs don't do practices. But on a Friday night, man, you know, if I've got 30 kids in my 14, 16s, 29 or 30 of the 30 show up every Friday night, just like clockwork. because they love playing the game. And that's the greatest gift we can all have. I mean, you know, all our kids have gone through that. You know, and I mean, Kev, I've been on the ice with your son. And, yep. And, you know, and so to be able to enjoy that time together, boy, there's nothing that beats it. You know, hockey is the greatest sport in the world for that.
Yeah, 100% agree. I couldn't agree more. And that story with Glenn is so why I get so mad when I see these posts. And there was just the USPHL, right, just announced another expansion, a couple of new teams out west. And the league is expanding to the west. And that's what people don't understand, is not all expansion is within, you know, 5 miles of each other. There are areas of this country that don't have junior hockey within 1,000 miles of them.
Yeah. It's
by the leagues expanding to the west, and that's where hockey is expanding to. West of Minnesota, Montana, Idaho. I mean, the Spud, what are they? The Idaho Falls Spud Kings just won the NCDC championship. They fill a 5,000 seat barn every single night. Go check them out if you don't know who I'm talking about online. Their locker room will rival a Division I college locker room. Like that, they are the legit program out there in Idaho. Yes, I understand. It's Idaho. There's nothing to do. Yeah, no kidding. But they put a team in there.
They have hockey.
They have hockey. A bunch of people show up and a bunch of boys get to play NCDC Tier 2 hockey at a high level and try to get to the next level, Europe, college, whatever that looks like. So when you talk about expansion and you get the trolls in the comment section, oh yeah, so we can fill the rosters with more A kids and everyone can just play beer league. If you get one kid out of that new team that makes it to a higher level, their mission has succeeded. End of story. So I hate that mindset that like, oh, we don't have the talent. Like we talked about it, Kev, on the last show. The lower age groups in every state and every jurisdiction on USA Hockey are the highest numbers of registrations in any age. The 10s and 12s are the highest level. Those kids have to grow up. They're going to be 16 and 18 at some point. They need somewhere to play. This isn't 1995 anymore. This isn't 2005 anymore. Like the pipeline is moving forward. Hockey is growing in this country, and you got to put them somewhere. So your mindset, Lee, there, I think, is perfect.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point, Jeff. You know, I think that, you know, like, for instance, there's some ownership here in the state that, with a program up in BC. It's the Campbell River Storm, for instance. You know, that's a junior B that is part of the BCHL, which is right there with Nall, you know. So, I think same rung or maybe even a little higher because it's just, you know, coming out of Canada. But they're very interested in the Florida market because you've got 31 million people. So when it comes to growth, Florida is going to see staggering numbers over the next 10 years of, you know, particularly when you've had the success of the Lightning and the success of the Panthers driving a lot of this stuff. And then, you know, their community outreach programs and things like that where, you know, these are, you know, NHL mandated things to help ensure the growth and the healthiness of developing talent to get to the NHL. So, you know, that's a big, big, big part of it.
Yeah, I agree. And without counting, you know, the individual sheets of ice across the state, you know, there's, I think, you know, let's call it 25. I feel like we'd all agree that's probably a decent number guesstimate off the top of our heads on sheets of ice available. Full size, not the micro sheets that exist here and there, right? Full size, gameable sheets of ice, 25, 30, something like that. There's 25 sheets of ice within a 10-minute walk of each other in places like Minnesota and Boston and places like that, right? With a lot less people than 31 million. And I understand the number doesn't equate because of the retirement community and all that, right? But at the end of the day, there's a lot of people down here. There's a lot of kids down here. If you had ice available that was more affordable than the number it continues to climb to be, which is staggering, and there was more of it readily available in geographical areas, we would have much larger numbers, and that would equate to higher levels of competition, better trained kids playing at higher levels, either in the state or out of the state. It just all, but it has to start somewhere. And that's what people don't understand, is they think that just magically you develop the Nathan Smiths of the world. Like, no, that kid has to play 8U somewhere and has to have availability to play 8U somewhere. And it starts there. And what you're doing, Lee and Kev, what you guys have done in the past with Rec really has made a big difference.
And it will continue to do so. And that's the thing, is that pipeline is, you know, omni-important to the whole aspect of it. And, you know, the things that we forget about is the car rights. You know, I mean, you know, that's something that it's still a family, you know, sport, you know, and the thing that I will miss, you know, unequivocally with my kids is the car rides to and from the rinks where, we get to spend that hour together or 4 hours together or the weekend together. And you know, that's one of the greatest gifts I think bestowed on us is because of that growth and that development that, you know, we get to experience those things. And that's one of the things that was really a critical part of the Cyclones in general is that we're very family oriented. And again, I you know, it's not to say other programs aren't, but we genuinely put a focus on that. And even our board of directors, you know, with being a 501c, you know, our mandate is that how does it affect the kids? That's the first question we ask with everything that we do is how does it benefit the kids? And so, you know, we break bread together. So when we, you know, have a, you know, when we're going to spend a day at the rink between our rec practice or rec select practice or, you know, a lot because a vice is hard to get, you know, we'll have rec select before our house games, for instance. So what we've done is we've said, okay, let's do potluck lunches with that. And so now all of a sudden we'll have 60 people at the rink breaking bread together. You know, and so those are the things that I think we have the, you know, the luxury of doing that, you know, travel necessarily can't because again, the demands are such that you really need to recover between games and, you know, you're going to be a lot more focused on, we didn't have the best game today, so we're going to make up for it this afternoon or vice versa. And, you know, we don't have a lot of those same, you know, variables, if you will. So, you know, to be able to take our 8Us and do jamborees, the kids have an absolute blast. And I think, you know, when you see the decline, I think at the 14-16 level where kids start to understand when they get their driver's license and now they get to dating and things like that. Now that's where we get into trouble. And if we have a good enough product, then I would say that we'll work through that better today than we ever have because the commitment is there to providing an environment for them to, again, grow on and off the ice. And I think as a collective, as a member of Sahoff, you know, I don't know if the other rec select programs are, but we joined Sahoff this year. We were voted in, and that was, again, another aspect of, you know, in my eyes, legitimizing our place in the pyramid. We're very respectful of you know, below us and above us. And we certainly understand our part in the development model.
Well, it's just a good vehicle for those that want to have a taste of what travel looks like. And then for those that, you know, have a taste, like you said, then they go back and realize, I don't want maybe that commitment or that demand, but you're still able to play good hockey and, you know, make it fun and be out there with your friends. I couldn't agree with you more, Lee. Obviously, I've seen the product of your kids and what you've done over the years. And, you know, you've done a fantastic job with them and, you know, they're good human beings. And that's what the game is all about. If we can help grow that, I'm all in it. All on board with that one.
Yeah, that's it. We practice the handshake line. You know, it's the most sacred part of the game. And you know, that's again, where we're instilling those values of, look, there's a lot of things you can get away with, but don't mess with those certain things. You know, the pillars of our game. And you know, and that's where it allows us the opportunity to get involved in that aspect of the game. You know, and you know, it gives us, you know, I would like to think in rec that it's a near perfect world where we teach position and we teach you how to hold the stick, how to fire off a one-timer, but we don't. And more often than not, you get to travel because of just brute force and natural skill, if you will, you know. So rec select is also one of those things to where we can spend time on teaching a face-off. We can teach time on, you know, what it means to you know, have a hinge on the defense, for instance, to where we can give that little sprinkle of travel, that little higher hockey IQ side of it in small doses, you know, and the kids that gravitate towards it will expand on it. And it gives them that much stronger of an opportunity, you know, to compete with us and, you know, and conversely, you know, again, you know, we've got kids that are on multiple teams and we encourage that, you know, at the end of the day, we all benefit from it. So if you want to be on the ice 3 days a week, that's your prerogative. And if you're not burned out, then, you know, the Cyclones benefit from those two other programs, you know, so we become better. And conversely, you know, they're on the ice with us 2 hours a week. They have extra games, you know, now they're bringing all their everything that they learned from there to the other programs and making them that much better or stronger. So, you know, it's a pretty big pond when you think about it. And there's place for all of us, you know, that's the whole thing is that you skip out on one part of it. You know, ultimately, the kids suffer and then you got to circle back and pick up and regroup with the wagons. But if you follow that progression of rec to rec select to travel to alliance, if you will, in our case, you know, then you've checked all the boxes for, you know, what I think is a very thorough development, you know, process, and you're going to have a lot of fun doing so.
Couldn't agree with you more. It's a great program. It's so needed in all hockey markets, but ours especially, to help grow the game, grow the knowledge of the sport, grow the love of the game. We say that all the time on the show. Grow the love of the game. Let's let these kids love the sport. They'll be lifelong fans of it, and then they'll be like us with nothing better to do because our kids are grown up. We're not driving to the rink anymore. We're talking hockey instead of playing it, right?
We're still talking hockey. What's wrong with us?
So before we let you go, Lee, real quick, I know you got places to be. Clearly, the traffic's backing up behind you there on the highway. We talked in the first segment before you came on. We gave our thoughts on what is to come between Florida and Edmonton round two. Just real quickly, what is the Lee Zerfus prediction for what's to come in the 2025 Stanley Cup Finals?
Oh, well, you know, I'm torn between it because I'm partial to my Glenn Metropolites and my Northern folk, right? And I'd love to see Connor McDavid do this. I you know, if there's anybody that, you know, we talk about ambassadors of the game, we're spoiled down here. I mean, think about it. What, we've had 4 Stanley Cups in 6 years? Is that?
Yes, correct. Crazy when you say it like that, isn't it?
Well, six straight finals, right? That's six straight.
I mean, so, you know, and I grew up in Chicago, you know, and you know, we can't put together that track record. And, you know, so I'd love to see Connor McDavid do it. And he's got some of the support. I think it's great for hockey. And at the same time, selfishly, I'm saying, you know what, Florida, you grinded through Tampa, you got through everybody, and, you know, you're there once again. And so, you know, I hate to say that, but I'm going to go Swiss on this one. I'm just happy for good hockey and the fact that we're still seeing hockey in June, because in 2 weeks from now, I'm not going to know what to do with myself.
Lee just wants both teams to have fun.
Right? Yeah, exactly. You know, that, yeah, I just want everybody to have fun.
Nice,
you know?
Nice. Well, that's right. Hey, that's the type of hard hitting fence sitting we bring you here on the Greasy Pigeon Podcast right there. Lee, it's been a great conversation. Really appreciate your knowledge of the game, your willingness to give back. We love bringing people on that truly put the kids first and want to drive development, growth, you know, the whole process from start to finish, that doesn't just see, you know, the ice time and the kids as a way to not have to have a full-time job. Let's just put it that way. So appreciate your willingness to get into the weeds, put your money where your mouth is, develop the kids and put the time in. And it's awesome what you're doing there, Clearwater. And I know, speaking for Kevin, we wish you nothing but the best.
Well, thank you with that. And, you know, and that's reciprocal. And, you know, I've been watching what you guys have been doing, and I'm an avid listener, and, you know, when you're doing the things that you guys are doing, and, you know, I'll say putting a spotlight on the areas of attention that we need. I think you're doing the community a huge service, and the fact that it's a podcast and, you know, does it apply in Montana just as equally in Florida? 100%. And educating the market, I think, is a huge thing. So I want to say thank you, because I know the time that goes into making this and the commitment and trying to find people to back the stories, the content that you want to cover. And so I want to say thank you for that, because it, without you guys doing what you're doing, you know, people wouldn't understand the difference in what we're doing. And so to take that time, again, I just want to say thank you. I'm humbled to be a part of it. And I look forward to growing the game just like you guys are trying to do.
I appreciate that very much.
We appreciate it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Well, on that note, I'm not going to add anything else. Kevin, you did decent as usual. Appreciate you being here.
That's what... We went Switzerland, Lee. We went Switzerland.
Awesome. No,
you're welcome, Glenn.
Exactly. So listen, everybody, look for your local, whether it's the Clearwater Cyclones or any of the other programs. If that's where your child is going, tryout should be coming up across the region anytime now. I'm sure even in South Florida and the other places that do rec. Who was it? Coach Jim was on the other day, and he said Orlando has a giant rec hockey program. I'm sure they're fixing to get going. So wherever you are, wherever your kids are playing, get ready for what's coming in the summer. Get ready for tryouts. If you're doing the rec select thing, whatever that looks like, wish you all the best. And for those of you that are tuning in, Florida and Edmonton, you heard our picks. Lee just wants both teams to have a good time. Either way, I think we're all hoping for a good long series, good hockey. We'll see what happens. But until then, Kevin, stay greasy. We'll see you next time in the nest. Cheers.
We'll do, bud.
Cheers.